Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I was speaking with a radio buddy of mine down here, and we were talking about music and rights to music and all the things podcasts go through and YouTube.
Yeah, if you were talking to a radio guy, were you talking about music or were you talking about music?
Music. Now, I had an idea today. Oh, my God. It's so dark, Maddie, isn't it? It's terrible.
What is it? Dismal? Is the weather dismal down there?
Yeah, it's dark. The room is dark, and so that's well, now you look the best. Maddie, what am I doing here? I'm
looks
sorry.
Like you're
I'm
lighting
trying.
A thriller.
That's it's a little terrible. Bit. Where? What? How about there?
Right there.
Yeah.
How about that?
Hi. How are you?
You're tanned.
Hi, how's it going?
You're tanned from
well,
the Florida
I mean, what does
sun.
It look like? Does it, I'm trying to get my camera shot. I'm getting ready
it's
to move.
It's darker
out of
than
this,
normal. It's definitely darker than normal.
I'm getting ready to move out of my domicile down here.
It's not and the guy so, from the natural dark, but it is. It's darker.
It's a little darker.
It is. Are
I'm
they
not
complaining
playing with that today? Because we're doing something different today, and I right. want to dive into it. But this is not going to be a DJ show, so we don't need to worry about talking up
okay.
and being a
all
DJ.
Right. All right.
But I was thinking about music because somebody sent me a link to some music, which we'll get to in a second here. And it just got me on a whole. I was late getting in here today because I was thinking so much about it. And one thing that you and I do well, and we've done it for a long time, is we have, I think, when it comes to music, we're about an inch deep and a mile wide.
Absolutely.
And you are probably, you skew more pop than I do. I am more just all over the place.
Yeah, that's
with
true.
No
you
rhyme
have a, you
or
have,
reason.
You
to
have
it.
A stronger jazz background because of your pop. A
lot of jazz, but at the same time, there are things that I've played over the years that I keep that I like to go back and listen to. I'm really bad at finding it and really bad at. So, what I thought might be fun on the same vein as. Your iPad sucks, which is a game we used to play.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Of going in to music, and there are no rules here. There are no rules. And we will play just snippets because you can't play the whole song.
Right.
We don't have time to do that. But snippets of things we have heard, whether it's new, whether it's old, it's going to be mostly old.
Of course.
I got news for you.
Of course.
For old people, be aware, it's going to be, well, almost exclusively old.
Well, stuff that, it's hard to really love something that's brand new, because I think to
yes.
love something, it has to sort of seep in. Now, I want to ask you a question before we start. You, when I first heard you, you were playing on music radio, and
yeah.
I know we love what we do now, but I bet you have a soft spot in your heart for what music radio used to be, which really doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. Do you miss it at all?
No.
Really? Not at all?
Not a bit. No, I don't miss any. I like being, I've always, and by the way, when I worked with Don, we were playing records because we had to almost from the beginning.
Right.
We wanted to come in here and talk. We still like talking up records, but talking up, when we do a record talk up show here, we play the first 10 seconds and then we move
on. Just the intro,
and
right.
I like my music really when it comes to pop music like that. I like going to a concert and I love an intro.
Yes.
I love it when Aerosmith walks onto the stage and then I'm ready to go home.
That's right. Especially
I don't want to hear 11 of their songs.
Especially if Jeff Shamrock has thrown up. You don't want to stay there.
Well, Rush, you know, probably the longest concert I ever stayed at. And then there was vomit. So it didn't work out that way.
There was vomit.
With this. But I thought this would be unique. And then we can just get the peanut gallery.
Right.
Check in Maddie Masiello.
Mm-hmm. Maddie?
Yes.
Yes, there she
standing
is.
Standing by.
There you go. Check in Pony Boy Matt Bloom.
I'm right here, Mike.
All right. Just to, I don't need a rating. We don't need whose is better. Just, and I want brutally honest. It's
yes.
like, I'm not going to put you on the spot because that's not what you guys like to do. We just need, it can't just be Rob and I.
I look
because
forward
because that'll
to,
be too much.
I look forward to Maddie's take because I forget because she is so comedically on par and part of the show. I forget how much younger she is than us. Right. Yesterday, she says to me, if I could only watch one classic television show from all time, the classic television show she would pick was Friends. I said, I'm not even sure I would call that a classic television show.
Well, but you live so far in the past.
I do, but
you
still.
You don't even live in a past that you live through.
That's true.
I live in a past that I live through.
That's
true. I met, you know, jazz guys and I don't know how you pulled it off. Well, you pulled it off on television by doing a deep dive on old television when you were a kid.
Right.
And then you got older and you just like nostalgia.
Yeah.
But so you're an old soul. But I think Maddie's a little more normal.
But this is why I like this, because Maddie, how old are you?
23.
She's 23. And I tend to forget that she's that much younger. And so I look forward to hearing what she says.
Let me do this. I'm going to test because I've got my machine here.
Machine.
I want to make sure that everything's working. Someone, this is the, I don't know, I can't give credit to who jogged me, but they sent me a copy of the new Huey Lewis album. And
okay, I've been curious to hear it.
That started the whole deal with me because I don't know if you know the backstory of Huey Lewis. He's got horrible hearing issues that are probably going to prevent him from ever performing live again.
Right.
It's a very sad story, but he was only able on this new album called Weather to record 7 tracks. They had to stop because of his situation. But they dropped one, I guess, in the month of February, and somebody shared it with me, and I wanted to play it for you right now and give you a little bit, and then, you know, we'll wait a little while. And while I'm doing that, Rob, you know, go searching and find one. But this is one from, nope, that's not the one I wanted to play. See, I screwed it up already. Here we go. This is the one I wanted to play for you here. This is Huey Lewis from the album called Weather.
Still
and
a
it's
great
got the Huey
sound.
Lewis sound.
Yeah.
And great video, by the way, with lots of stars on it. Is everything sounding good up
there?
Yeah,
it sounds great.
This is a little song called Her Love Is Killing Me, from the brand new Weather album. Huey Lewis in the news, everybody, WAVA.
Lady, I can't sleep. I'm so nervous I can't keep the beat. I can't run.
Boy, he's good.
In a damn shit can't keep us satisfied. Drifting and drifting like a ship at sea. Her love is killing me.
That's so good.
Isn't it simple?
Yeah, but I mean, it's them. You can hear, you know, you can almost break them down into different eras, and they're always great. I'd say one of my favorite songs of all time is a Huey Lewis song. Not obscure, but The Power of Love is a song that I associate with, you know, being a teenager and going to see Back to the Future in the movie theater like 3 times. So I've always got a soft spot in my heart for Huey Lewis, and that's why it's really sad that he's not going to perform anymore. But how great to go out on a legacy of having another great song.
Yeah, and the album's good. That's the best track on the album. It's a great little video. Someone sent it along. It's really, really cute, and I think you might like that.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought. That jogged the whole thing. And I said, you know, I was sitting there, you know, 5:30 this morning, listening to music like a maniac, and it was just a lot of fun. It really, really was. So that's what I want to do. I just want to trade licks with Rob Spiewak. And let me ask you that little ditty that's an oldie but a newie from Huey Lewis. What do you think, kids?
You know, I'm not so well-versed with Huey Lewis, but I do remember a little bit of his music. I mostly know him from you doing talk-ups. And
well, Hip to Be Square, one of the best talk-up records of all time.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that was pretty good. He definitely sounds older. You can start to hear
can definitely
it in his voice,
tell,
but
you can definitely tell. And God, does he look older on the video?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That you know, that's a lot of fun life that Huey has. But you know, you got like guys like Andy Garcia, and you know, doing on the video. And
that's great.
It's a throwback to what Huey Lewis's videos used to be, just stupid and silly, and maybe a little rushed to production. I got that vibe from it also, but you know, it just had that traditional Huey Lewis sound. Maddie, what do you think?
To me, like, a really good song is one that I can picture myself like driving to, especially in the summer with like the windows down or the top down, and I totally got that vibe.
Well, that's cool. I like that.
That's a positive. I like that. I think that's fantastic.
Let's say my counterpoint to that then would be the most recent release, I think, from the Rolling Stones. And I don't think this album got enough play because I love the notion of it. I've liked the Rolling Stones my whole life. I've seen them in concert, I think, 5 times. But they got away from the overproduced stuff, and they went in a couple Christmases ago and did a blues record. They did it in like 2 days. They recorded the entire album in 2 days, and it was so raw. And it, to me, it suggested the Stones of 1965, but you know, they're older and more mature, and it's got a great sound. This was my favorite song off the album Blue and Lonesome. This is called Just Like I Treat You. The fact that they're all about 80 years old, literally 80 years old, doing this. Doesn't it just sound like a great bar band? Treat me, baby, just like I treat you.
Some say you can't. I'll be honest with you. I think it's just too simple.
Is it too simple, do you think?
It's so, you know, with the Stones, when I get into a Stones record, it's right. Start Me Up. You know,
great one. I mean, hard to beat it. Hard to beat it.
But it's different than the regular stuff. And I feel like sometimes these, and by the way, I'm a hypocrite because I'm just contradicting what I played with Huey Lewis.
No, it's fine.
You don't get any more simple than that. But this is kind of identical, what you played.
Yeah,
where,
that's what inspired
me. But it's too
me.
Dumb. It's almost too dumbed down.
The reason that I like it is that, and I can see your point, but I see that the fact that this is the roots of everything that the Rolling Stones would ever become. You know, this is when they started. They sounded like this. So for me, it was sort of a nostalgic kick to see them doing what they did literally 50 years ago and just sitting down and playing. Because, you know, they've become... Mick Jagger is more of a...
Now, what is the album? The album's brand new?
No, it's about a year and a half old. It's called Blue and Lonesome.
It
and
didn't do well, right?
Did no.
It, I mean, compared to a Stones
no, no, no,
album.
No, no, it didn't. And I think it was... to call it a vanity project might be simplifying it, but... I love the fact that they went back, and I got the feeling they were doing what they wanted to do, and I liked that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I didn't. I'm sorry. I got to give it a thumbs down.
That's
it's
right.
Not my cup of tea. Pony, what do you think?
You know, I feel like it sounded kind of generic, like almost like an old like Doors biker bar kind of song, and it just, I don't know, it didn't feel different.
I guess for me, it has to, it carries the luggage of being old Rolling Stones playing stuff. So
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah.
If without a backstory, it is very generic. I agree.
Maddie Masiello, what do you think?
I think if I was in a bar and I heard this song, I'd be like, okay, this is cool, but I would never seek this song out.
Okay, we're moving on.
How very
now.
Kind of you.
Trading Licks right now. And by the way, these are not, those are two. Rob played a new one, but he doesn't have to play a new one.
No, not at all.
These are just these are songs that are songs I listen to. And I love this song, and I've loved it for a very long time. And I'm not even sure if Maddie is aware of it, but this is one of my favorite groups, favorite artists that I've ever had. And I play this all the time. And I wonder if you're going to like this. This is going to be interesting.
Okay.
Rob can probably recognize it. Don't spoil it. But... The Gypsy King.
Yeah.
And I listen to him all the time.
I
love
no
this
idea.
Music. I'm going to play it to the hook. Right. You surprised, Rob?
I am. Because we've used this song as a punchline before.
I know.
Can you turn up a little bit? Better, thank you. Amor de compraventa, amor del pasado. Ven, 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 ven. Bamboleo, bamboleo, porque mi vida yo la prefiero vivir así. I'll play this once every couple of months. Well,
and now I'm ready for the peanut. I'm ready for the peanut gallery.
It speaks to your Florida lifestyle.
No, not really at all.
I know.
No.
I know.
This is just something I love, and I heard them one time live, and was hooked ever since. So I don't know what your feeling is on the Gypsy King.
Well, I don't know that I would ever sit down and listen to an entire Gypsy King's album.
I don't listen to albums that much. I do, but the particular song is in my iPad, and I love it.
It is. I mean, it's a sensational record, and it's the kind of record that the minute you hear it, it is recognizable because of the production and the build and everything. It's a
Maddie,
great
have
song.
You ever heard of the Gypsy King?
I have not.
What do you think?
I like it. The guitar is my favorite instrument. I think whenever I can really hear that in a song, I automatically like it. So I'm digging it.
Bloom?
You know, this is a pretty iconic song, and it's one of those songs that you hear it one time, and it's already in your head. It's that catchy. Yeah. I think it's a fantastic song.
Very good. Thank you. That's two thumbs up.
Strong pick there. Now, right, so because
put that in your pipe and smoke it, Spiewak.
Right, as you said, it's not a competition.
Oh, it'll always be.
I know. All right, because Maddie loves the guitar, let us, of course, focus on the trumpet. This song is... When I go to my I listen to music all the time because I prepare music for the show, but if I'm going to sit down and play an album, an actual vinyl album, always in consideration is something from Herb Alpert because of the sounds he made and some of his 60s stuff, the Tijuana Brass stuff that sounds like game show music, that's become almost comical in retrospect. But in his late 70s period when he was doing the jazzier stuff, the sound on the records were amazing. And I love this song. This song is called Rise.
This is really interesting because this is stuff you listen to when you're relaxing.
Yeah, when I'm not doing it for work.
I'm not going to poo-poo it, but it's definitely not something that would find its way into. Maybe because I played it so much.
Maybe.
But really not. I played it in a lot of adult contemporary radio stations, and I played this, and it was a very, very big hit. But this is also the line of demarcation here. Where I'll play some hits too, but no, I'm sitting here listening to it, and I get it, but not my cup of tea.
I just love
my thing.
It's got an atmosphere to it, and not a lot of records can convey an atmosphere, and it's so rich sounding. The way they made the capture of the trumpet, it's I won't say otherworldly, but it is. Trumpets don't normally sound like this. This is one trumpet lead. It just sounds so warm. I adore this song.
All right, kick it to the peanut gallery.
Tony.
You know what? I'm not surprised his name is Herb because this sounds like a 70s porn song.
Okay, no. It's Herb. Herb Alpert.
Herb. Perpetic Albert. And we interviewed Herb Alpert.
Oh, he's a tremendously nice
fun
guy.
You went to see him. I didn't know you're a massive Herb Alpert fan.
I think... His Four first thing. 10 albums, which is great.
That's so cool. Wow, I didn't know you were that passionate.
Yeah, I love him. I love him a lot.
Maddie?
It is pretty rich and bold. I don't love it, and I can't really explain why, but I don't hate it.
Because you don't drive in a car to it?
Yeah, no, that's my standard.
You'd walk out of this bar.
Zero steering wheels.
Oh, the steering wheel rating.
That's my rating.
All right, now since this is sort of evolving into a competition
yes.
now of whose music is better.
Uh-huh.
I want to make sure, are my songs loud enough, Rob? Because they're killing me down here. They're blowing me out of the water.
Yeah,
They're exactly right.
All right.
So this is one of my all-time favorite artists. And I listen to this guy. If I'm ever just listening to music, I usually find my way to this man. I don't speak to him as a human being because I don't know if he's that nice a person, but I listen to this guy a lot, and I've never seen him live.
Can I guess who it is?
Yeah, go right ahead. Guess.
Is it LL Cool J?
No, it's not. It's not. It is this guy, and I maybe because he's a drummer, maybe because in the 80s he knew how to use the synthesizers a lot. Is it loud enough? I
want
to make sure
great.
We're competing now. This is Don Henley.
Oh yeah.
And, I just love chords, and Don Henley used chords like nobody, and I don't know, I'm a big fan, always kind of puts me in the right mood. I like Don Henley, and of course you can't talk about Power 105 WAVA.
Let's go down to the Sunset Grill and watch the working girls go.
That's a hit.
I mean, it is.
Was played a lot.
And you know what? Right? He's not a great singer, but he's a passable singer. But the albums have the songs have such texture. The way you nailed it with
do
the
you
chords.
Have any Henley like in your personal your go to listening? All right, no, you don't have to get it. I mean, I'm just I'm just curious whether you would, you know, when you're listening to Herbetic Albert,
Herb,
if you would listen
short
to
for Herbert.
Yes, thank you,
Herbert Alpert. So many people mess with him.
You know, this is a very iconic 80s song, but
you're
as
not
a kid,
allowed to use the word iconic anymore.
I can use it all I want.
No, you
as
can't.
A kid growing up in the 80s and 90s, I feel like this is the kind of stuff I heard like at the dentist office.
Kind of the easy listening. Such pain.
Wow. This spent a lot of time at the dentist, Bunny.
That is so much fame. All right, Masiello, have you heard of this?
I have not, but it just sounds like the 80s, and I'm not a huge synth fan, and his voice just kind of sounds whiny to me.
Just turned it off. All right.
So I don't
right? Well,
it.
You know, they can't all be hits, ladies and gentlemen.
No, they can't.
Rob,
they can't.
All right, I'm going to go search you.
I will
you
say continue. This one is a guilty pleasure of mine, and it's I'm almost ashamed to bring it up, but you never hear it, and I need to give a little bit of a backstory. In the early 80s, late 70s, there was a sort of a lull in interest in the Beatles, amazingly. Their music was not as popular. They weren't as universally recognized as they are now. They didn't have the release on CDs for years to come, of course, so there were no CDs. So they were just sort of cruising on their original releases. And there was a sort of a trend in pop music where they would take a band and make medleys of their songs. There was an Elvis medley. There was a Beach Boys medley. And then there was this. And this was just called Medley, and it's by a Dutch band called Stars on 45.
Oh, God.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. This is what you listen to for pleasure?
Sometimes.
Oh, my God.
And it is. It's a totally disco beat song. And they do a small intro that sets it up here. Now, what I need to sell you is that these Dutch singers spoke no English, so all of these lyrics were learned phonetically. So this lady doesn't know what she's saying. She doesn't know what Stars on 45 means. Here it comes. Ready?
I am stunned. Yeah, this is, you were playing this on your record player.
I have, yeah. Okay, now watch. Watch what they do here. They sound so much. Oh, they have to go through the shocking blue. Give it a second.
Yeah, I know.
It's weird. You know, it's weird that they would put shocking blue, and then they do Sugar Sugar by the Archies. It's the whole thing is like a fever dream, but it somehow works for me.
Sugar.
So while it plays, Matt, what is your? Have you ever heard this?
I think you played this for me one time. It's very saccharine. It is.
Yeah.
Bonus points for knowing English.
It's Rob. It's Rob.
It's Rob.
This is Rob. I suppose. This is the theme that plays inside of Rob's pop culture head.
But they're Dutch and they speak no English. Don't you find that curious?
I could give a rat's ass.
Maddie?
I think if I was.
Oh,
on...
wait, listen, they're going to do Beatles song now.
Oh, this right. happens
there
before.
We go.
So glad I got to hear that.
That's why he loves it.
Well,
that's
of course. I mean, Mike, I know it's an odd statement to say, but I'm a Beatles fan.
I know you just are.
It was a weird time when they weren't top of mind musically, and this was sort of big in keeping them in the forefront. Sorry, Maddie.
So I feel like if I was on psychedelic drugs, this would make me turn into a bad trip.
Oh, no.
But anyway, we're going to take a break. But before we do, I wanted to get to the artist who, and Rob will know this as soon as I say it, the artist who is most representative of my personal music collection, the artist that is my, I've described him as my idol.
Yeah.
And another prick, by the way.
Yes.
These guys that I like.
But he spoke English, this guy.
I just don't know which one I could pick. But I am a drummer. I love jazz and I love Buddy Rich. And the one that I'm going to pick for you right now is called Monitor Theme.
Yes. Oh, great one.
I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but, well, I'll play it and we'll see what you think of this. This is Buddy Rich. Live, by the way, recorded live. I hope the audio is okay.
The thing about Buddy Rich, Mike, is he loved his band.
This is probably recorded the late 1960s.
Yeah.
Pretty good live recording.
Very good, very good.
For the late 1960s. I'll just play a little more of it, because I love it. Just listen to a little of the drum work here. All right, so now I'm ready to subject myself to the peanut gallery right now.
Before we throw it over to the young youngsters, I want to say this.
Yes.
One thing about Buddy Rich, and I don't follow him as close as you do, but I have a couple of his records.
Well, nobody does anymore. He's dead.
Well, in that case, I am following him. But
right, exactly.
He, obviously, all his charts centered on his drumming. But
yes.
And that's a good example, just the first few bars of that. Mm-hmm. He's okay, and even right now, letting the band shine as well. And he did bring in great horns, great session guys to play
and
with.
And wrote his band very hard. Yeah. I mean, had guys out of Juilliard, musicians that came in. And I saw him before the peanut gallery comments and breaks my heart. I saw him 11 times in concert.
Wow.
Before he passed away.
And you met him?
And I met him, and yeah. I interviewed him.
Yeah.
Pony Boy, what are your thoughts?
You know what? I think this is very pleasant. It's unobtrusive. It has exciting moments. I enjoy it. I do.
Talk about damning with faint praise.
I know. Yeah.
And I think the best thing ever was the time that you flipped out and almost killed Oscar when he called him Buddy Guy. You got so mad.
But I'll always remember your stunning compliment on this show today, Pony, when you referred to my main man of music as unobtrusive. Maddie, you probably never heard of Buddy Rich. So,
I've not, and I apologize for what I'm about to say. But I feel like it is the song that would play at the end credits of like a QVC program.
Wow!
On that note, we'll take
start
a break.
The show.
The best of O'Mara.
I go through my music when I'm in the car on a long ride or anything like that, and Carla rolls her eyes and she doesn't understand.
Are you a guy that randomizes? Do you have it on like shuffle so you're not sure what's going to come up, or do you ever search
out? I'm not as organized with music as you are. You have everything categorized, alphabetized, put in the right thing. I've got it all over the place. I mean, if you go into my music as I'm looking at it right now, the first thing will be like sound effects. I've got audio tracks.
Oh, I've got that too.
And they're all 11 seconds, and I'm trying to think what they say. Hold on, what is it?
That's the probably. I miss him. He's in Hawaii, you know.
I got to turn it up, guys. Tell me if the levels. I don't want to hear something after the show that it's not good. All right, so I need
all your
total
music has
honesty.
Been perfect. Your right, music has been perfect.
Right. Let me see what this is. Thank you.
Boing, that's from the Grease Man collection.
No, it's not. It's from the Looney Tunes collection.
I know. I'm just
thank you very
silly.
Much. I mean, give him credit where credit is. That's a big crash.
Yes,
I don't
is.
Even know what these are. You've heard these on the show. That's a wheel spinning.
Carnival wheel, of course.
I am a gay American.
Okay. I don't know where that popped up. This is from like my audio board. But it's just, it's very weird that I have.
Yeah, sometimes I'll be driving in the car and I'll have, love that. I have, like, things on shuffle and, like, a weird sound effect will come on and the kids will just shake their head. Like, what is the matter with you? So I have to travel with it.
It's interesting. So it's
Journey with us now.
All right.
It's
I
you.
Don't know what that. Hour, that okay. I
that's
see
what
everything
you listen
I put
to
in my computer.
That's
is
what
here.
You listen to in the car. It's
yeah, I
me
listen
talking.
To me. I listen to me now. I didn't expect that. Autoplay. It's not supposed to do that. Thank you very much. All right. I'm ready for you now because I have to. It's going to be hard for me as we go on to find obscure tracks that I.
All right.
That
first
I
of all,
to.
Give me no
and by
grief.
The way, a long time ago in a land far away, a friend of mine sent me Christmas music, which corrupted my entire iTunes folder. I now have to wade through everything that I have in here. It's I've never been able to extricate myself.
Well,
from
that friend probably sent a lot of Christmas music.
Yeah, it was insane.
Yes,
it was insane.
So speaking of Christmas music, do not badmouth me for playing what is technically now a holiday record because it is still in season because it's cold. But I think
now I had the option to play holiday records. But are you playing holiday records because of A, the fact that you want to play a holiday record, or are you playing a holiday record because you don't have the same amount of stuff you would have at home?
No, I have 25,000 songs to choose from. I travel
right here.
With. Yes,
I travel with,
and both iPads are
I'm
full.
Sorry.
But
now
I choose.
Now, you know, this is one of these few times I'll be sheepish. Well, I'll say, oh my God, I feel like I've challenged the master now.
No.
25,000. I've got like 11. But anyway, go ahead.
This is this is a wintertime song, and the reason I play it is that. It has, for my entire life, been a song that has been an automatic turn the radio, turn the stereo up as loud as it'll go without offending people because of the arrangement is so perfect and the capture is so perfect. It's a song that was written by a guy named Leroy Anderson, but the ultimate recording is by the Boston Pops. And I think this is one of the best produced records
so
ever
would you
made.
Listen to that like during the rest of the year?
Sometimes out of season, yeah. I just love the way it sounds. It's huge.
You have to understand, Mrs. O'Mara puts Christmas music on like starting in September.
She's not.
And I get so burned out on it.
Yeah, you know? But you know, but it's this is not one that I can burn on because I just think it is so well done and so well recorded. It's just for me, it's always been a very special song.
All right, well, we know what this one sounds like.
Sure.
Pony.
It's kind of awkward and out of place seeing it as it's after Christmas, but
yeah,
it
like
is,
right after Christmas too.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, but, like, it's
a terrible choice on his part.
What a jerk!
Yeah, I guess it's think it's my turn to be sheepish.
Maddie, what do you think?
I mean, the production value and the layers of this song. I mean, obviously everybody knows are amazing. It's not my favorite Christmas song, so it's probably.
But
not
remember, it's not a Christmas song; it's a winter song.
Whatever.
Oh, and by the way. The best modern performance of this can be found on YouTube when it's played by my close personal friend, Colonel Michael Colburn, directing the President's Own Marine Band with this song on the David Letterman Show.
So great.
Which was one of the greatest live performances you will ever see on television. And the guy with the big uniform, the boss man, that's my pal. And I'm proud to say he is. Thank you.
The coolest thing about it is after they perform it, when Letterman comes over to congratulate him and thank him, Letterman is so pleased with what he just saw. And you see that from Dave a lot.
Yes.
He's all smiles, right. And it's a great moment. I agree.
All right. I'm going to go into a deep dive here, and I'm going to play an obscure song that I listen to only a certain way. I only listen to the very beginning of this song,
okay,
and then I turn it off because I don't like the rest of it. That's just the way I listen to it. I love the crescendo,
all right.
And this is a little band called Styx. You
yes.
might have heard of them. Mm-hmm. And this is one of my favorite, but I don't like to go deep into it. This is very, very cool. I love the intro.
Yeah.
Picture yourself. Floating in space, Pony and Maddie. Suddenly, you come from behind a planet and you see a giant spaceship. Controlled by robots. Isn't it exciting? And then you realize just how huge it is. And a window opens. And look, it's a robot.
Don't worry, Gato, it's the robot. Don't worry, Gato, it's the robot.
That's it. That's the part
and then
that
you're
I
done.
Play it
but
too.
You know, you were there when it came out. Nothing had ever sounded like that.
Yeah.
That was a
very,
game changer.
Very unique music. Amazingly unique music. Styx. And I was not the guy that bought the album. It was a roommate of mine named Ed Donnan. And Ed Donnan was a maniac for this group. And he played it all the time. For me, it was a slow kind of burn on getting into it.
Right.
But now, of course, they're iconic, as there's the word again. But they are. And I'm curious what the kids think about this.
Yeah, I've already said what I've said. So, Pony.
Yeah, you know, I think this is a fantastic song. It's almost like kind of the early roots of electronic music. And it's Japanese. So, you know what? I love it.
Japanese.
God.
Maddie Masiello.
I'm ready to meet intern Joel on Planet Beltron. I am going. I really liked it. I really liked the crescendo, as you said. That was really cool.
Oh, that's good. They like that. Yeah. And they're honest. This is great. I didn't think it would be this much fun, but what's fun is getting the reactions from them.
I love really it, too. I love it, too. Now, we're going to go something probably more negative for them. Everyone knows I love Elvis Presley, and my favorite era for Elvis is Jumpsuit Elvis. I like Jumpsuit Elvis. When he was in the early 70s and singing live mostly. And the best concert, the one he's best known for is the Hawaii concert, where he was sober for, by the way. But his best concert album came a year later in Memphis when he played two shows in his hometown. And he did a song that he only performed very rarely. It was really from before he was even famous. It goes back to the Sun Records era. So you have to picture this is Elvis in 1974 doing a song from almost 20 years earlier. And what I love about it is not only is he surrounded by a great band and his voice sounds great, he's obviously having a great time.
Oh, baby 11.
My baby love.
like it because it's so pure.
Yeah, and this is
what he is.
Exactly. And it's fun for me to hear him having a good time with a song. I mean, he'd already done fully orchestrated recording. Suspicious Minds is a huge record. This is essentially three instruments. And if you're wondering,
I would love to be there. I would love to see Elvis in this. That's good. I give it a thumbs up.
The answer that everyone's like, yes, he is fat, and he's so fat they didn't even put his picture on the album. They put a picture of Graceland on the album, but not Elvis. So yes.
You mean this? So this is right before he died?
No. He still had three good years left, but he was heavy. He was very heavy at this point. So it was almost like the Christopher Cross thing.
Thank you, Rob.
Where they didn't put his photo on the. They put a picture of his house on the album. I'm sorry, Pony.
You know, this has a similar sound to that Rolling Stones song earlier, but I definitely give him credit. There's a lot of energy to the song, and you can definitely tell he's having a good time. And it's great. How can you not like it?
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. It has great energy. I just can't really tell what he's saying.
But my baby left me.
Well, besides that line, I mean, he keeps repeating that line. I get that. But, like, the other words, I can't really. He needs to enunciate.
I stand out my window, stares, wring my hands and moan. All I know is that the one I love is gone. My baby left me. He's really upset.
Clearly.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Now this is interesting because this is really seeing where we all go. I'm all over the place. I said that before. I am a huge fan and played country music for a while, but the genre of country music that I enjoy skews more traditional.
Okay.
And one of my all-time favorite artists, I still have him on my bucket list for somebody I want to see out of pure musicianship, is a gentleman by the name of Ricky Skaggs.
Yes.
When I'm listening to music, 9 out of 10 times, I'm going to play Ricky Skaggs. And what I want you to listen to, kids, when you're listening to this right now, is the pure musicianship of his band called Kentucky Thunder. This is my favorite Ricky Skaggs cut. It's called Black Eyed Susie. And I just want you to hear the quality of musicianship here and the way these guys go. I adore this song.
All right, boys.
That's Ricky Skaggs on the mandolin.
Lightning, just so fast.
Black and Susie came to town, all she wore was a gingham gown.
Hey,
Black Eyed Susie.
Oh,
Black Eyed Susie.
Hey,
Black Eyed Susie.
Oh,
Black Eyed Susie.
Yep. Live. I like live performances.
Black Eyed Susie's long and tall sleeps in the kitchen with a feeding hole.
Hey,
Black Eyed Susie.
Oh,
Black Eyed Susie.
Hey,
Black Eyed Susie.
Oh,
Black Eyed Susie.
Yeah. Now his banjo player.
Yeah.
So that's a, you know, I go on and on with that, and they all do their licks. They do the guitar player.
All I need to and make me happy is to
kill me, Pappy.
Hey.
Hey. All right, so kids, I'm ready for your verdict.
Well, I'll say this. You might not know this. The first music I loved was bluegrass music. My dad was going through a bluegrass phase.
We had that in common. I did not know that until today. That's
when I was growing up, and actually you made me turn my train a little bit. I'll play a bluegrass record next. But you can't argue
with
him.
Why are you going to play a bluegrass record next?
You can't do that.
You can't. That's not fair. Buzzing me.
No, no. You inspired me.
I like Rocky Road, too. No, that's not fair. You got to do your own thing.
Then I'll do my own thing.
You got to do your own thing. You got to come up with your own creative ideas.
Well, I will say this. You inspired me to remember the fact that my first favorite band was called the Dillards, and they played the Darlin family, essentially, on the Andy Griffith Show. But,
so it really does get back to pop culture there again.
Well, no.
The Magic Box.
It came back. It worked backwards. I knew of them before I knew they were them on the Andy Griffith Show. They were actually discovered. They were discovered and put on tour to open for Elton John. So he loved their music. And so, So bluegrass is, and I think it is one of the, country sort of has this mantle now, even though it's losing it. Bluegrass is pure, pure music. If you
it
listen to that,
music.
There is nothing, there's no trickery, there's no electronica to that.
Electronic at all.
There is someone who is great at playing an instrument, getting up
outside
there.
Outside of the amplification, none whatsoever. What do you think, Pony Boy Matt Bloom?
So my dad used to say, if you can understand the lyrics, it's bluegrass. And you know, I think that's a song you could probably only play one time a day. It is so it sounds like it's a workout for whoever's
well,
playing.
To watch them play, I mean, they're flying. They're absolutely flying. This is, and I really think I don't know enough about the genre of music to know, but I'm reasonably sure that this is the top of the top of the top. They, like in that genre of bluegrass music, you don't get better than Ricky Skaggs and that.
Well,
and
he's
that group.
I think he's the only one that has any sort of national recognition now because it's very regional. There's a lot of
and
regional
he still
stuff.
Tours. Yeah. He still tours, but he tours. Unfortunately, he tours in a very narrow area because that's, I guess, where there's a call for it. Maddie, have you ever heard of Ricky Skaggs before?
I haven't, but the second I heard that mandolin, I just started smiling. Like, I feel like there that's just go. A song you have a good time that is too, and you can't help but dance.
Get a thumbs up there. Good. This is not one of my selections, Mike, although I do like it. This is The Animals and CeCe Ryder. I might have played this anyway, but we need to take a break.
Oh, God. Sorry, I got caught up in
it. It happens.
Oh, wow. What was your bluegrass song you were going to play?
I was going to play, it's called Dooley, and it's an old traditional song that they did perform on the Andy Griffith Show, but their studio version of it is a wonderful example of their instrumentation. Again,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay. I was curt with you.
The best of O'Mara.
Yesterday on the Mike O'Mara Show, I requested seat fillers for the Oscar slot to and anybody walking around the building. And Rob actually made arrangements with somebody that's not just the walk arounder, but the grand poobah of Podcast Village.
This is like getting Nicholson to be a seat filler at the Oscars.
Let's not go crazy, Rob.
Well, I didn't mean Jack Nicholson.
which Nicholson?
Amy Nicholson.
Mean?
She's a movie critic.
All right. And he's, this is, how you doing, Charlie?
I'm okay. I can't hear myself.
Oh, okay.
That's better.
He can't hear
it,
Rob.
I can hear myself. Yeah, I can hear
him. He's correct. Oh, yes. The headphones were up. I think we just had a loose connection.
Okay. So Charlie Burney's here, and Charlie is the guy that really created Podcast Village and then moved it into D.C., and now we have a couple of locations in Washington, D.C., and things are going gangbusters with Podcast Village. Yes. You're happy with everything in the Podcast Village world?
Oscar and I got married in a social media kind of a podcasty way. And
very happy. Yes.
I introduced him as my partner, and then I look and I'm like, business.
Business, yeah. I can see where people would
2020.
Make that mistake. And he's away, and
he's fabulous Maui,
enjoying Maui. And I communicated with him via text yesterday, and this is about the time of the week where I start to require his presence a little bit. And
Rob,
he's not coming back. Yes,
making me think of high school when my brother would play the nose whistle. Remember that?
You can play the nose whistle.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Let me see if I can do that. So, Charlie came in a minute ago, and Rob laid this on me when about a minute before you came in the studio. So we have Charlie Burney today, and so I really always like to be on my best behavior when you're around, just because I feel as though, even though I don't work for you, I feel like I do sometimes. I feel like you have a general manager aura about you. Do you get that vibe from Charlie a little bit too?
I used to.
You do work for Charlie.
I used to, but he is he's more friendly than a general manager.
Oh, I knew you were going to kiss ass.
No, it's not that. It's not that at all. It's not that at all.
No, it is that, Rob. It is that. I understand what's going on with that. I get the vibe that he's like a GM.
Okay.
That's the feeling that or an owner or something like that.
Owner, he does have an owner vibe, but not a GM vibe. Because you know what? He doesn't ever quash creativity, but he does always sort of have a concern for the overall, be careful with that, don't do that, don't say that. There is some of that, but he'll never quash your quality or your creativity. He likes the creativity.
Creativity is my favorite thing, but I do tend to turn out the lights sometimes.
Yes,
I don't know why I always feel that. I've always had that feeling with you that... that I should be on my best behavior. And so I come to the show today.
Uh-oh.
I come to the show today in a real state.
In a lather?
Not a lather as much as a weight on me.
You seemed, when we joined forces today, when we joined on Skype and via our audio connection, you seemed defeated.
I feel defeated. But I'll get to it in a second.
Okay.
It's just that I know that the listeners are going to tire of me talking about this because it's been on. Who are you looking at, Charlie? Who are you?
I'm just waving to Pony.
He's saying okay. Hi.
Usually I'm sitting next to him and listening to him laugh. I'm sorry to distract you, Mike.
All right. But
let me interrupt your story really quickly.
If you're going to come into the goddamn studio, you can at least focus on the show.
I want to interrupt your story and tell you behind the microphone, behind the glass. Every day I come in and I watch your show and they always say, do you want to listen? And I'm like, no, I just like listening to Pony and Maddie laugh. And I sit in there and I drink my coffee and I go,
see, that's nice.
And so
that's nice that there's, I don't have any conception of that based on what I do.
That might be why you view him more as a general manager, because you don't see him watching the show. Because I do see him watching.
Almost every day.
I was perceiving. Yeah. I was perceiving it totally on Pony and Maddie laughing while we're doing the show. I picture them brooding on the other side of the glass.
Oh no, it's another show. It's the Pony and Maddie laugh a lot show.
It's great. Well, see what I love about Pony. My only exposure to Pony is when he will swoop in occasionally with a one-liner, and it's usually right. It's spot on. Pony has that luxury of being able to speak only when he's got a really good zinger. So that you know what? That's helping me, Charlie. That is helping me a little bit today.
Go ahead.
I have to be completely honest about a behind-the-scenes thing that I didn't want to talk about. It's not a big deal. It's about the house.
All right.
It's about the house, okay?
Okay.
But my house that is now officially the Albatross.
Okay.
The house that is sitting down here, the updated house that my wife insisted with all the effing money we'd put into it would sell in an instant, and it just languishes down here. It is languishing. So I'm going to take you to where I am right now, because this is nobody's fault. It's a process. Sometimes it takes longer. I understand this. I understand my listeners are going to get burned out listening to me complain
about this.
But I have to come to you today with my situation.
Right. Well, so this show is your therapy. This is your therapy.
I have to, or I won't be able to function. And Charlie, you've bought and sold a lot of things in your career. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's lucky. Sometimes it's unlucky. Sometimes it's a toil. Sometimes it's a surprise. Yeah. This happens. Yeah. I probably got spoiled when I moved out of D.C. because somebody sent us a letter about the house that we lived in and said, we want to move back to my old town area and we'd like to look at your house. And they ended up buying it. It was was never a for sale sign in the yard. Yeah. It was bliss.
Right.
It was like no realtors, no nothing. So anyway, Friday night, my bride goes to a little coffee klatch down here with the ladies, and she is promoting her business, her new esthetician business, and she's out doing this, and she's excited about it. And I guess I don't know all the details, but I guess a friend of a friend said, we're having this. We'd love you to come over and talk about what you do. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
The surprise that she got, that she came home doing cartwheels to me about, was the lady that was having this little coffee clash said to her, hey, guess what? I'm looking at your house. We've been looking at it for months, and we are very, very excited. And Carla came home all excited and saying, and the lady was apparently saying things to her like, oh, your taste is exactly like my taste.
Perfect.
It's this and on and on and on. Carla's saying to me, I've got a great feeling.
Yeah.
I've got a great feeling. Now, when if you're keeping track, right? If you're keeping track of this, this is on the heels, relatively close, of the 3-day offer where we got the offer on the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And by the way, did I mention I bought another house while this is going on? Okay.
It's come up.
I did something that technically I really can't afford to do. All right. That's where we are with this.
Yeah.
But we got an offer in 3 days, and then it turned out to be utter and total bullshit. But I'm talking about the kind of bullshit. And I'm sorry that I'm saying that. That involves meeting with other people, with contractors, with everything. There were people brought in. If you were just going to say no, it would have been one thing. This was my deal. And then so that went away. It hurt.
Right.
It hijacked the house for about a month's time, right. But c'est la vie.
Okay, well, let me, I've never sold a house. I've purchased a house, but I've never gone through the selling process. So you're saying that while it was like in talks, it wasn't on the market. So you lost a month of time that it was actually for sale.
Exactly.
I didn't realize this. Yeah. Oh, my God, that makes it even worse.
Well, the word Mike used, which was, I think, hijack, is exactly right. Because you're completely powerless.
Okay.
You know? So it started the process psychologically for me. It started the process on the wrong foot. I really it messed with my mind in a way that I never expected, because I was so filled with euphoria at the start of this, and then on and on. And it turns out that this happened. Well, this was a little mini version of that on Friday night, because it ends up, we found out this morning, about half an hour before I came in here, that it was one reason or another that the cabinets were. This is after the lady said to her, "Your taste is my taste."
Right.
And so here it is. Here it is. And this is what I have to just, and I said this to my wife today when she was telling me to calm down, which, by the way, a lot of people are telling me to do that lately.
Well, not
calm
us.
Down.
Not
no, us. Calm down.
I know this, Mike. I've known you a long time, and anytime you've ever been told to be calm, it
doesn't
always
really work.
Works.
Yeah.
Always.
Right. I might know that too.
And Charlie, I love all the guys I work with, okay?
Yeah,
but when Oscar is gone, the seasoning, the spice, the chili powder on my little cocktail is gone. All right. And it's me working with a vanilla ice cream with happy, happy joy. Funny man. Very, very funny man. But the edge, any negativity, any edge of the show is gone. So combine that with where I am right now. Not that I don't love Rob, but Rob is jolly and happy and fun. And that does not necessarily help me when I'm doing my job every day. All right. So that's where I am with that. But we do a good job. When we do music shows, we have a good time. Everything's okay. Everything. But it's just a little. And Rob, I say this with love, it's just a little added effort on my end, okay?
Yes, I understand.
Which is probably not what I need to be doing this week.
I understand.
While Mr. McZipalix is over on his brother's dime in Maui for 14 days, or wherever he is over there.
Hello.
By the way, we communicated about that thing we talked about, okay?
Yes.
Yeah, that's in the pooper too now, officially. Yeah. We'll talk about it after the pooper.
All right.
But anyway, so getting back to where I was.
Yes.
So half an hour before I'm going to come in here, my wife says to me, "I called Kevin." That's our realtor. I don't mind mentioning by his first name.
Right.
Kevin. And so
is he there in the house with you?
No. There's nobody in the house with me, Charlie.
I know, but the way you said.
There's nobody in this house, Charlie.
Charlie.
There's no one in the house, Charlie. It's wide open. I could have 150 people in the house, Charlie. I could have 150 people in the house.
Well, it doesn't sound like 150 people.
There are times, though. Here.
No, I mean, I'm saying I could because I've got the room.
Let me, I know you accuse me of this, but let me bring you just the positive spin. At times like this, the house, when you scream Kevin, it sounds great.
Yeah, I know.
The acoustics are great. Love it.
By the way, that's going to be next week. That changes because I moved this over there.
Home Alone.
Yeah.
Here it is. The long and short of it, and this is where I should have been from the very beginning. I realize that people lie. People lie like dogs. And when it comes to a real estate transaction, they are never, ever going to truly be honest. They're not. Because they're going to be polite, or they're going to be excited because they haven't, the reality hasn't hit that they come in here and it's not the dream that they thought it might be. I don't know what it is.
Do you feel that the likelihood of someone lying is directly correlated to the size of the event that it's related to? Buying a house is the biggest thing you do in a life, right? So if you buy a house, are you more likely to lie because of the size of the transaction?
Here's what I think. I think that in both circumstances, both the one from this past weekend and the one
original,
from the original, both times there was contact with me and the buyer that I can't do anymore. I am not going to do that. I don't want to be anywhere near this. I want it to be. And by the way, as I said, I think a couple of times,
yes,
when my guy calls me and says, how did it go? It went well. No, it didn't go well. In the event that there is not a wet signature, then it didn't go well, period. That's all there's going to do. And with that said, now I am at the little area where tiny little tweaks that I had said, well, I really don't need to worry about that. We've got this beautiful view. It's right down here in Florida. I'm at that stage now. You're
tweaking now.
2 months. And this is really the best part of all. This is the best part of all, that now I'm at the of where, well, now I'll be spending a little more money to maybe make the house a little bit, kick a few things over there. And it's not really a little money. It's actually a lot of money.
Quite a bit.
But that's okay. You know? So that's where I am. I'm sorry I had to vent that, Charlie. I had to do
it's
that.
It's okay,
so.
Mike.
It's so understandable. It's understandable. I mean, it sucks. People suck.
Yeah, I know. I know. People do suck. And people lie. People lie like dogs. Mm-hmm. They do. And so when, and I think Mrs. O'Mara knows this now, when you go to a social event and there are a lot of people going around and getting excited and talking, just ignore it.
Right.
Because it's meaningless. And be cold and aloof and distant and don't get excited. Don't share the level of excitement with the lying people that really probably don't have any intention of doing anything.
You know what, Mike? Don't get happy. Yeah. That's what happened.
Don't get happy.
That's what happened.
Oh, my gosh.
I am firmly of the belief
Mike
right
got
now.
Happy, I think, Rob.
Well, that, I don't know. That
Those
first 3 days he was happy. Those first 3 days.
After the third? I was bouncing off the
with the one where you thought you weren't going to have to do any work at all.
That's right. Absolutely. Thought it was going to be that.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, you know, how about the only work I was going to do was move out.
Yeah.
That's it. But it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Anyway, how y'all doing?
But you know, what if Mike? I stand by this, and
you
I don't
start
even
again.
No,
what do you want?
Stand by this. I know it's darkest before the dawn. This house will be sold by St. Patrick's Day, and you will call it you will call it your St. Patrick's Day miracle.
So.
And also, this I will add to my prediction. I will say this: you're not going to have to do all the improvements that you think you have to do right now.
Mm. Well, I mean, there are not a lot of improvements that I have to do. There is one thing I look at here. Okay, this house is about 20 years old.
Okay,
and as I look across right now, this was a model home, a small model home.
So this was the house they used to sell houses in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes those are a little smaller. Yeah.
They put extra bells and whistles in, and one of the extra bells and whistles they put in it was, for the size of the house, how absurd it is, was an intercom system. System in a house where I could go, can I have a bowl of Cheetos, please? And there's my intercom. That's all I need with that. And so I'm looking at it right now when it was probably a wonderful white plastic speaker.
I can picture
outside.
It. Yeah. So clearly.
I'm looking at it right now that looks like it looks like something you would find in one of those museums off Route 66.
Yes.
You know, that has the old toys that have been sitting in the sun. You know what I'm talking about?
I remember
it says
my
Electrolux on it.
How about Newtone, Charlie? Yeah. Newtone. How about Newtone? That's a modern name, isn't it? Newtone.
With a
this
U.
Is
with
London.
A U. Yeah. With a U. Yeah.
Hello. I'm Edward R. Murrow for Newtone.
My Uncle Bob and Aunt Mary had a house they built in the mid-60s, and I remember growing up and going over there, and they had that sort of intercom system and yellowed white plastic. Yeah. Does yours also have an FM radio to provide music in every room?
Yes, it does. Yes, to provide music in every room.
That's downtown.
Plastic silver buttons.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
You don't want to replace that, Mr. O'Mara. You want to keep that.
Now, is it fully functional?
It still works. You can still play it. And the doorbell still works.
Oh, that's great.
So, I mean, I'm keeping it. I'm not taking it out. It's retro. Now, they make them now where you can retrofit it.
Okay.
And I don't want to, you know, what do you think that's going to cost me if I really want to do that? And that's because it's got speakers.
It's going to be a lot of money.
Everything.
You don't want to touch it, Mike. It's original. It's original.
Just cover up the holes where this thing was.
Hey guys, I got an idea. Let's take the old style and make the new Nest doorbell stuff, but make it look old.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So what? So
the one where you see the people coming in your front door.
Yeah. You, could stuff. You could you ring it up
the
to your
ring doorbell?
The yeah. ring doorbell.
Well, I have the ring doorbell.
So that's so you have double
let's
coverage.
Make it look old. make the ring look really old.
You like, get like a black and white camera.
Piece of crap. Yeah.
Right. Retro. It's
like it's a selling that, point. It's a feature. There's going to yeah. be someone who wants that. Someone's yeah. going to want that. You well, can put a you know, Bluetooth thing to, in it.
Much like an author writes what he knows, I have to come in here to do this show to make my pain as entertaining as I possibly can make. And by the way, everybody down here, because they're all sensitive to it,
right.
all the old people that want to sell their properties for whatever reason, anybody, they're very
oh, yeah,
curious.
They're all flying they're around curious. You like fruit flies. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, they're
yeah.
very they're very yeah. curious about that. But other than that, everything is hunky-dory.
Sounds
everything
good.
Just, sounds just great. Fantastic. It has not hurled me into a cataclysmic depression.
No, of
not
course
one
not.
Little bit. You know?
Of course and, not.
But here's what I would be fine with right. going okay. forward.
All right.
I would be fine with brutal honesty. Remember I discussed that with you, Rob?
Yes.
Remember you, me, and Pony? We've had that discussion before about how I like brutal honesty. Brutal honesty mm-hmm. that we don't have to be, you know, don't spin something to be better than it really is. I went, Charlie, you yes. run your little empires too. Don't you like it if there's something wrong or something bad? Don't you like it to be straight at people to level with you and tell you right away
of
that
course.
Something's not going well,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
As opposed yeah. to
always.
Sugarcoating it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Always. So that's yeah. that's where I am.
Mr.
with everything.
Corleone must know bad news right away.
That's I feel that way. I feel that I don't want I want very little contact with anything other than you should do this.
Right.
And if it's negative, that's fine too. But I can't get that out of people.
Yeah.
It's difficult to get that because you know, the people that also that lie about whether they're interested in buying your home, the realtors lie too.
Of course.
It is a lying profession.
Oh, yeah.
It's the way
so.
We're and
yeah.
I would like brutal honesty. And what I get is, oh well, you could. I don't know, you could, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
right
you
now
are obviously you're a little uptight right now. What might help you is some
little
beautiful music
yeah,
played
little,
on an FM radio. Why don't you go over to your intercom and find yourself some nice?
You're
soft
just going
to
latch onto that now, aren't you? Yeah. You're going to latch on because you happen to know what I'm dealing with here. There's a. By the way, the retrofit is like. It's a jerry-rigged.
Of course,
retro.
Oh, like, great.
So it's like the same exact panel with maybe a slot for an iPod.
Yeah, don't,
you know what
that
I mean?
Would it's be such a, wasted time and effort
right.
to retrofit.
So I'm just
it.
Leaving it there.
There is somebody. There is somebody who wants that intercom.
That's
there
really
is.
True.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
eBay.
Yeah. eBay. Hey, if you're out there and you want a really retrofitted intercom, I've got. Let me see.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. I have 4 little ports. Can you believe that in a house this size? You've been in this
I know,
house, Rob.
I know.
Can you yeah. mention that? I mean, when I had it, and by the way, when I bought the house, it was interesting. But
neat.
Then, but then
I think
rapidly,
neat, is it?
Rapidly yeah. it was irrelevant.
Useless,
you know?
Yeah.
And by the way, when she plays music, you know, when Carla would play music around Christmas time,
yes.
and I'd come home and I'd hear this.
So she's playing music out of the intercom.
It's just yeah.
Oh
well, it's got
That's
it's so got
great.
A radio there,
the
and then it would play through the speakers.
Yeah.
The fidelity would yeah. be like you know, it's just like.
Batman, we will now play Christmas music. You have my permission to sing Christmas songs.
Now, I am a member of several Facebook pages that feature vintage audio equipment.
Right.
I just like to
right.
watch what's out there. Here's right. what you do. You say,
yeah.
top of the line, 1990
owned
new
by
tone
Mike O'Mara.
Intercom, available for purchase now, comes with house.
And...
The best of O'Mara.
We've got a special guest sitting in with us today, Charlie Murray, what? Who is the
me?
Guy at Podcast Village,
yeah.
and you've done a lot of different things in your career, right? You've done all sorts of
yes.
You built golf courses. You've done. Do you still play golf at all, Charlie?
Not
do you
very
get out
much.
There and do that.
I'm okay. too busy minding the store here at Podcast Village 7 days a week, trying to follow after Oscar. So.
Okay.
No, I don't get a lot of time to anymore. I used to golf quite a lot for work, really, Mike. But
mm-hmm.
And I'd love to have you come and play Queenstown next time you're in town. But I was going to say part of my past career was as a failed residential real estate agent. And
it's
a horrible profession. Sorry, guys,
As much as I'm frustrated dealing with the people that I deal with, and I like the guy that I deal with.
I'm sure you do.
But I would imagine that line of work, especially when you're doing it, seriously. When I say that, I think you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
There's so many people that don't do it seriously.
Yeah.
There are, I don't know how many licenses there are down here in Southwest Florida. And there's so many of these people that just go out, get their license, really dabble at it.
Right.
But to do it as a living, I would say thankless is a word that comes to mind.
And how many times have we seen on Facebook so many of our failed DJ friends that come out and say, hey, I got my real estate license, so if you're looking around.
A lot of people
fall back on. But it's got to be, Charlie, a business that is built on disappointment.
Well,
because so many people go out, the success stories are so rare.
Yeah, I will tell you that. I had a misconception about that business. I'd been 27 years in commercial real estate, and I thought, well, I'll do this for a little while and figure out what's going on. And I thought, I went to a small boutique firm, and I thought there would be camaraderie, and I thought there would be some tutelage, some interning, if you will.
They'd prop you up.
And there was nobody helps anybody, and they're all in it to, sorry, guys, I know there's some of you out there who are awesome, and I can name a few, but most of them are out there to screw you. Just
wow!
Screw you. And they're going to screw their fellow agents too.
Even within the same firm,
not trying to lie to you. They just can't bear not to keep the conversation going, Mike. And they can't bear to say anything negative, And it was not for me. I mean, it is for some people, and there's some really wonderful ones, and I made some wonderful friends. It just wasn't something that I enjoyed. I'd have agents come up to me and say, "Don't say that. You can't seem nice. You gotta seem really aggressive. Never say that." And I just didn't find it pleasurable at all. So I don't want to dwell on it anymore. It's not fun. So
it's not fun. It's not fun. You know what is fun is the show that Rob played a clip from at the beginning of the show. I don't know how many of you in the listening audience are watching. I binged because I lost touch with it for a while.
Right.
I binged Better Call Saul like you would not believe. I think I watched the first season of it and maybe a little part of the second season, and then I got completely sidetracked. So I binged all of season 2, 3, and 4. I mean, I was talking about it was obsessive. I would get up in the morning and on the weekend when I'm normally devoting all of my attention to my kid and he's eating breakfast with mom and I already have my headphones on watching Better Call Saul.
Because you're mainlining Saul.
Oh, my God. Absolutely incredible that what's the guy's name? Vince Gilligan.
Vince Gilligan,
The writer creator of this show. If you want to know what Better Call Saul is, it is a prequel to Breaking Bad, one of the great streaming success stories of all time.
Maybe the first, one of the first bingeable shows, I think.
Right.
And I have a question for you because you and I both, we watched all of Breaking Bad, and now that we're all caught up on Better Call Saul.
I binged it. I was late to the party with Breaking
Bad. I was too. Now, my question for you is, obviously, there is so much overlap in tone and everything on Better Call Saul, but why is it that Better Call Saul is more, I guess the word is palatable. There's less unpleasantness to it, and I think that makes it an easier watch somehow. I'm enjoying it more.
I think it's the Vince Gilligan touch that exists in this, and he's so invested in the characters with this. And now I guess we're in season 5, right?
And they posted two episodes. Yeah.
On AMC, they just started with season 5. And I think that the more I study film and television and what makes a hit and what makes a great story, I think that the typecasting can never be underestimated.
Yeah.
I think when you talk about stand-up comedian Bob Odenkirk, who plays Better Call Saul.
Right. Saul Goodman.
This guy, who's Jimmy McGill, that changes his name.
Well, he's the little McGill brother.
It is just phenomenal how he is so perfectly cast in this role. And layered.
Yeah. Like,
but
when you watch
never
that
see
scene,
the guy. I will never. No. This is a character where I will never look at Bob Odenkirk again and not think, That's Jimmy McGill, Better Call Saul. If you haven't had a chance to dive into this show, it's by the way, you can grab all of it on Netflix.
Yep.
It's out there for the picking, and it's amazing. The reason I brought it up, though, is because we have all known people like this, where a few times during the run of this show, the brother, played by that great actor,
Michael McKean,
who was Michael McKean,
Lenny on Laverne and Shirley, yeah.
You know, who says, you can't help it, Jimmy. You come into a situation and you destroy things.
Yes!
That's what you do. And it's just, and we've all known people like that, right?
Yeah.
Where there's not, and there are a few things as I get older that I begin to think about. And one of those things is people really can make all the efforts they want, but there are certain people that just are never able to change their essence.
Yep.
As it were, where this is what's great about this character.
Well, I would say that everyone has an unchangeable essence. Some are positive.
Yeah.
Some are not. And like the way he is, and this is not a spoiler, when they show him working at the Cinnabon and the essence he throws off as that defeated mall employee.
He's a brilliant actor.
He's so good. And then
so many stand-ups turn out to be great actors. And he's
compare that to the scene that we played the clip from when he's doing the cell phones in the tent.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's so
the burner
great.
Phones
yes,
that he's
so
selling. So
fantastic.
If you don't get a chance to see this, I cannot recommend it. By the way, I'm kind of late because I missed a lot of seasons, but they're still making new episodes, and it is truly something special. And I was reflecting on my radio career of the people that would be kind of like Conan the Destroyer when it would come into any radio station. And there were people that I knew. I'm not going to mention names. There were people that Don and I would know that they would come into a radio station, and they probably were a friend of a friend of a friend. And I'm going to speak in code here. You'll probably know who I'm talking about. But a guy that had maybe a fourth chance because he was friends with a person of power at the radio station. And the guy was incapable of getting out of his own way.
Yep.
And, I may have spent some time with this individual. It was very special.
Would it be fair to say?
Hi, Rusty. What's that? Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Would it be fair to say that because the radio industry, and particularly the DC radio industry, is really pretty tight-knit, as your career went on, you would see the same people over and over again. It would cycle.
Certainly but like that from a listener standpoint.
Yeah. Well, the thing about radio and media to a certain extent, and I certainly feel this when I watch national news, I think the people that are the lifers, the long-termers, if you look at the people, let's give you an example, Wolf Blitzer.
Yep, still
there's
getting
a guy
done.
Still there. There's no sizzle. There's no danger.
Nope.
He's just there, and he
straight
will be
wolf.
The same guy you get. Yeah. The people that I saw in the radio business that would come in for a brief time, flame out, and then go, they were fun to spend time with, but in the long run, they probably wouldn't last.
No.
Because they just were so broken. This individual I'm talking about, to Rob Charlie, was a guy that I met through another program director who you brought in from another radio station. And, we were all given a little warning. And perhaps some of us, Mike O'Mara, didn't listen to the warnings.
And this predates me. I only know this through stories. But as the years progress, I feel like I was there.
Well,
somehow.
when you are perhaps on a Friday and it's payday and you are stopping by this individual who has, by the way, a very good job at a time in radio where there were plenty of good jobs to be had. And you're getting into this person's car and you're before you're going out for your little evening, you're stopping by his apartment and you walk up the walk with this gainfully employed individual and you see on his front door the yellow utilities have been turned off notice.
Uh-oh.
And you say to yourself,
that's never good.
You're a little bit confused.
Sure, and why not?
Hey, buddy.
This was, I want to say this was a period of less than 6 months where there were more stories with that, and you just realized at a certain point that that's it, that this person can't possibly change. And right. By the way, it's not just radio. It's families where right. you have people like this.
Oh, yeah.
Where
yep.
they are the way they are.
Yeah.
And you can try and try and try, but it doesn't necessarily. There are a lot of Jimmy McGills out there.
Yep.
If we had Better Call Saul fans.
Jimmy McGill.
A lot of people that are the same way. So anyway, it's a great show. I recommend it.
Keeping highly. Score this week, we've got to watch Better Call Saul right. and Schitt's Creek.
Right? Exactly. Schitt's so, yeah. Creek also yeah. great.
Because you guys were talking about Schitt's Creek the other day, right?
Yeah, so. Because that is just fluff that you can turn on.
I think that's going to be my first go-to at Schitt's Creek. I've only
Catherine
watched
O'Hara
one episode
of that. Has found the vehicle of vehicles for her. And she's spectacular
in it. Fruit wine.
Fruit wine. Moira. Hello, I'm Moira Rose. Oh, God. That's another one. That's good. I'm glad you're keeping track.
The Best of O'Mara.
Rob Spiewak mentioned something to me before we went on the air. And
yes.
I have to tell you, Carla hit me to this yesterday. I had no idea. Either I've had my head in the sand or I'm not paying attention. I didn't know there was a Breaking Bad movie that was going to drop today.
Mm-hmm. Big deal.
Has it not been? You can't walk 5 feet without hearing something about the Joker, but the Breaking Bad has.
Netflix has been really promoting. A matter of fact, they had a Hollywood-styled red carpet premiere this week for it.
Yeah, wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. I missed it.
It's tough. And we talk about trying to break through all the noise.
Right.
As far as like our circle here, I've heard enough about this movie to know that some people, they wanted to watch it at 4:30 in the morning when it dropped.
It drops actually at 3 p.m. Eastern today.
Yeah. Like, so they want to do that depending on the coast you're on. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Like they want to watch it that early.
Because, regular movie length, like 90 minutes. Is that what it's
yeah. 2 hours? I think 2 hours.
2 hours. 2 hours. 2 hours.
Yeah.
But they're so scared of things being spoiled.
That's
that
the
they're
thing.
Either going to have a watch party on the West Coast or East Coast to make sure that it doesn't get spoiled.
So
that's how big
3
this
p.m.
movie is.
East Coast time, that's when it drops today.
And here's what I can tell you that I know from what I've gathered is that almost everybody from the show is back, including Walter White in flashback. The movie picks up at where the series ended. The key character is Jesse Pinkman. The movie is called El Camino. And yes, Mike Ehrmantraut is in this movie.
Can you confirm the time back there in the control room, please?
They have a countdown on the Netflix website.
Yeah, I just want to see.
Whatever you do, Rob. don't give it. Rob, don't give it to Pony Boy. He'll get the numbers wrong.
He's got people with him.
Pony just sent me a text. It's at 8 p.m. tonight on Hulu.
Hulu Plus.
Have you heard anything?
Positive buzz. Yeah.
The trailers look dark and fantastic.
Sometimes there's so much out there. Mm-hmm. There's so much out there. Sometimes you just miss it. You just miss something that's big that's coming down. And by the way, they're doing the marketing already. Have you noticed that with Joker? Best film of all time.
Of course.
They're scrambling already because they know this thing. This thing is going to be crazy.
When I see the previews and the press for this Breaking Bad movie, I have a similar feeling I used to get when The Sopranos would come back after 18 months off the air. Because in a way, part of it is you're getting to see characters that you thought you weren't going to see in again. You weren't going to see anymore. And it's fun to revisit with, you know, characters that you're invested in.
I don't think they're going to mess this up like the Sex and the City movie.
I don't either.
Would you like me to offer my 2 cents?
Please.
Yes.
And this is fresh now. They're not related in any way, shape, or form. But this is what I think. I think it's going to be effed up. And let me tell you why.
Really?
The magic of Breaking Bad. The binge
the whole
worthiness
back together.
The binge worthiness of Breaking Bad was the length of it. That you went on and you never knew what twists were going to happen with a movie. And this was, look, I'm comparing it to Downton Abbey. Don't mock me for that. But when you try to come back with a series and turn it into a movie, you have to button things up. And you destroy, believe it or not, the credibility of the plot lines because everything's got to be tied
so
up
fast
in a neat little bow. It happens too much. There's too much stuff happening in a concentrated form. That's why Breaking Bad, in my opinion, was the greatest binge series ever made for television. You couldn't turn away, and you never knew what was going to happen, and it went on and on and on. And that's why it was like an addiction. The joy of it was the length of it.
What do you say to the people that started with episode one and did watch it episodically through the entire run. They still had the same joy you did, but they couldn't binge it because it was being parsed out. You and I both got on towards the end where we could binge it.
Yeah, and that was the first, I think Breaking Bad came out. That was like one of the first real
I think it sort of set the concept. Template. Yeah.
That and House of Cards were binge-worthy.
Yeah, but House of Cards was the first like A-line series that would drop all 13 episodes in
all
a day.
All of them at the same time.
Right.
Now, remember, I'm on Team Mike and Team Rob, but we have some breaking news from the control room. I knew I was right.
It is available now.
Yeah, it dropped at 4:30 this morning Eastern time. People were watching.
Oh, the clock was wrong? I checked the clock yesterday. I swear to God, I did.
Welcome to my world.
I swear to God, I checked the clock.
So that's what I heard in the bullpen downstairs, where some people were saying they were going to wake up to watch when it dropped, so they wouldn't get any spoilers throughout the day. So as you're listening to this right now, let's say you're listening Friday today. Mm. You want to stay away from social media just in case people want to ruin things for you.
Very true.
For the people that are doing that, that get it getting up at 4:30 so they won't get any spoilers during the day, go work at a fucking homeless shelter, okay? For the love of God, get some semblance of a life, all right? And by the way, I've watched live sports my whole life, and I've recorded sports when I couldn't make it. You can avoid stuff. You just, you don't have to always be connected. That's what you do to do that.
So say the show ends today. And
you mean for good?
No. This show. The Michael Mara show. When we're all
very
set up.
Possible.
And
yeah. Yes. Right now, due to my physical.
Do you have it in you to just get some rest, throw that flick on, and get it over with?
What's he saying? What?
I don't know. He's saying
you have the time.
Yeah. Would you today, like as soon as we shut the mics off, would you watch it right now? Daytime television viewing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a daytime viewer. Right, I could do it. But let me also say the reason, and by the way, there's every chance it'll get great reviews. But there is the distinct possibility that because it is in a totally different format, that people might be disappointed. And when you tell me that Walter White is coming back only in flashback, and he's not going to be the Jesse Pinkman ain't going to drive that vehicle.
Mm.
Jesse Pinkman ain't a strong enough character to keep that show going for 90 minutes or 2 hours of viewing.
But they've
Aaron
got
Paul doesn't have the chops.
With
I'm
the
sorry,
magic of flashback, they might be able to drive it. And also they have an advantage here is that they do have five seasons it ran?
Yes.
5 seasons of establishing the characters where they can focus on just story.
I understand all that.
Be optimistic, man.
What
this could be
blue math becomes pink math.
If Jesse Pinkman. If we come in on Monday's show and you're hearing bad reviews about Breaking Bad, the movie, I'm just saying I'd like it to be successful, but I wouldn't be surprised if it goes the other way because it very well.
Well, can we all make a blood pact to watch it?
Yes.
I'll watch it this weekend. Okay. I promise you I will watch it this weekend.
I will.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.